Thank you, Pastor Schaller, for the opportunity just to share tonight. And if you have your Bibles, you can just open to two passages with me, please. If you don't know me, my name is Steve DeVries. I'm the pastor of the church in Korea, where Dan Dunbar is serving and covering for me. And Pastor Sejun, yeah, there he is. Maybe many of you have had a chance to meet him. He's with us in Korea. And so did I tell you where to turn? I didn't. Oh, isn't that funny? Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and then Isaiah 55, please. And we had a great time with the pastor's conference. And it was just so edifying, so encouraging to be a part of this body and the call of God that is in our lives. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll just read one verse, verse 11, and then Isaiah 55. And we'll see where we read there. So, okay, everybody got your Bibles? Ecclesiastes, can you find Ecclesiastes? Okay, chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd." Okay, so we have goads and we have nails, well-driven nails. And then Isaiah 55, I'll start in verse 1 and 2, and then we'll, and 3, and then we'll skip forward to verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Now, verse 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Just pray a moment. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for this ministry and the years of wise men faithfully ministering the Bible to us. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, so I have this this thought in my mind last few days, and remembering back to when I was in Bible college, and what was it that we learned, and what is it that God taught me, and what was exemplified to my life, and this thought is that I was trained to think like a missionary, or to have the mindset of a missionary. How many here have ever been on a foreign mission field? Just raise your hand. Maybe long time, short term trip. How about missions in the United States? A lot of hands go up. Isn't that amazing? And then don't lift your hands now, but like when you came back home after the missions trip, did your mindset change? Was your thinking like, I don't know, did it change? Or did this missionary mindset continue as you came here? And this is one of the most beautiful things that I have had witnessed, like revealed to me here in this body for so many years. And in Bible college, our teachers are men of God who served as laying their lives down and then coming back to America and teaching the Word of God from this mindset. And definition of mindset. It's kind of a concept, maybe not so modern, but I like it, this mindset. It means to have a fixed mental attitude or disposition that predetermines a person's response to and interpretation to situations. I'll say it again. It's like a mindset. To have a missionary mindset, it means that I have been taught a predisposition, a way of thinking, a mental understanding of reality, and it is fixed. It's set. And it predetermines when situations come into our life, this mindset, whatever it is based upon, predetermines my responses, predetermines my interpretation of how I understand what's happening. And in Bible college, we learned, and you continue to learn, and we're continually taught to have a very unique mindset in this world. And this picture in Ecclesiastes 12, this picture of the goads, does everyone know what a goad is? It's like you have a big, heavy ox, big, heavy animal, and you want it to go this way, but it wants to go this way. So they would have a pole with a sharp, sharp point, a nail on the end, a prick on the end, and jab it into the shoulder of the oxen, and the oxen would adjust according to the pain. When Jesus said to Paul Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus, what did Jesus say? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's difficult to kick against the goads that are happening, that my word and the Spirit of God is pricking your heart with. Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus, going to persecute the church, and his heart is being pricked and goaded all the while he's going. He knows it's really not of God, but he is sure that it is. Like he has this double mind. And it took Jesus knocked him off his horse. And he spoke to him. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to kick against the goads. You know God is speaking to you. You know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And I love the goads. I love the sharpness of the Word of God that brings correction and speaks truth. Truth that corrects me, rebukes me. And then there's the well-driven nails. The Word of God, the spoken by men of God, well-driven nails, nails pounded down, truths pounded down in my heart that are not going to move. Eternal truth that's not going to move. God's heart of what we heard this morning, God's heart of love, His love will never, never fail. His forgiveness will never be exhausted. His thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace. He is for us. These are well-driven nails teaching us how to think with God. Not just passing thoughts through our mind, but established in our heart. Goading and correcting our wayward heart. Nails, well-driven, pounded in. And the word of God piercing, Hebrews 4:12, the double-edged sword piercing and dividing and judging the heart, piercing the heart, driving nails. And this mindset, God is fixing the mindset actually of Jesus Christ in our hearts. And in Isaiah 55, you know, verse 8 and 9, it sounds very almost hopeless. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. To such an extent, we are different. There's nothing we have in common. In Genesis 6:5, when God looks upon the thoughts of my natural heart, every thought, every intent, only evil continually. Only evil continually. But look at this invitation. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you want to think with me? Do you want to have your soul and your heart lifted up to the heights of heaven and to think with me? And we say, yes, Lord. What can I pay for that? What can I pay? What do I owe? You can't pay anything for this. You're broke. You have no money. You have nothing to give me. Now come, I will give it to you. You're hungry. No money. You can't buy this. You cannot buy it. You can just come humbly receive it. Just come and receive it, and I will teach you. And as I love the Bible college here. To hear it, to learn it, to hear it again, again and again and again. Pound the nails, goad my heart. Let me have your thoughts, O Lord. And this mindset, it is not just in the mind. This is actually the thoughts that begin in our hearts, established in our hearts. But it affects every area of our soul. Every area of our soul. So just think with me. I'm just about to finish here. The five parts of our soul. Let's just think together a little bit. Like the mindset of a missionary in regards to the five areas of our soul. We'll begin with the will. I think for the missionary, it begins with our will. Not a will of, okay, let's go. We will do this. No, it's the will. The will that is submitted. Our hearts submitted to God's will. Not my will, your will be done. This is the way the missionary thinks. This is the way we go out. And actually, you don't have to go overseas for this. This is right here. The missionary mindset is for every single believer. It's different than, like for me, it's very different than just having a Christian mindset. To me, it's kind of, what does that mean? But a missionary's mindset, missions means sent one. I'm sent. I'm someone who God has called and he sent. And I'm a stranger in this world. And we're pilgrims and we're sojourners. This is not our home. But we are here. Jesus prayed, I don't pray to you, Father, that you'd take them out of the world, but that you'd sanctify them by their truth and deliver them, keep them from the evil one. So our will, the missionary's heart, is submitted to God. God, your will. And then the mind, our mind. A missionary's mind, I don't know for you, but for me, it began with 1 Corinthians Chapter 8, I know nothing as I ought to know it. It's like that comes back to me again and again and again. I know nothing as I ought to know it. But God, teach me new. Teach me your thoughts. And he does, and he teaches us doctrine, and he gives us sound, healthy food. His thoughts on every single subject. And this word thoughts in Hebrew is the word makashabet. It literally means like this weaving together of all the thoughts of God into one full, complete, beautiful, perfect, pure system of thinking. Everything complementing, healthy thoughts. And he is wanting our mind to be in tune with His. The mind, the emotions. What are the emotions of the missionary? The missionary's mindset. Well, we desire our emotions to be in tune with God's emotions. Jesus said, I speak these things that my joy may be in you. My joy, my love, my rejoicing, thankfulness, the emotions of God. And I say this, okay, I'm a missionary. I'm not very good at these things. Like, it's not something like we're always experiencing, but it's, oh God, I want to have your mindset as a missionary. And then number four, our conscience, the human conscience. What is the human conscience of the missionary? We heard today about guilt, right? Romans 7. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. And there is this guilt. And the missionary's mindset is learning to receive the blood sprinkled, to bring it to the cross again and again and again, to confess and agree with God, I am in Christ. There is no condemnation. My conscience is clean. Oh, I just failed. But I'm getting up again and again and again and again. I am not my flesh. I am who I am in Christ. We're learning to think with God. We have the mind of Christ. It's the mind of a missionary. And the last is consciousness, the last part of the soul, this consciousness. It means that we're directing our attention to what God is focused on. What is God focused on? Oh, there's so many things to be distracted with in this world. But the missionary's mindset, our consciousness, our attention is being directed first to God. God, what do you say? What are you doing? What is your spirit doing? And then it goes to others. Our consciousness, we're focused on other people, other people's needs, other people's hurts, other people's rejoicing. Our consciousness, that we're focused on others, not on ourselves, not on our pain. The missionary is our thoughts are on desiring to commune with God. And I love this for us. And I think of it across America that there's so many Christians, so many churches, so many believers that have never had this privilege like we have to really learn the missionary's mindset. And then to have it exemplified before us by these men. And just as I close, I just over the years, I've had such a privilege to be with, you know, Edith Crane. There's one with the missionary mindset. I was just edified by her life. We served together in Thailand. Laura Littlefield, we served together in Korea. There's people all around us with missionary mindsets. And not to be discouraged, but she's so encouraged. Yes, I'm hungry. Yes, I'm hungry. Yes, God, I want to think with you. I want your thoughts. I want your ways. I'm a missionary. This is our identity. You're missionaries. You are a missionary. And we are called, we're sent, we're here in this world to think with God. Amen. Let's just pray for the offering. Let's just pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, as we think about the offering tonight, it's a place to worship you. As missionaries, as strangers in this world, as sent ones, God, we worship you tonight with our finances, with our money. The two copper coins, Father, a holy, precious gift. And we just ask that you bless this offering now. Bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit is precious here tonight. Huh? The Holy Spirit. Precious. Great worship in the beginning. of the service, right? It was great. Did you notice the, pausing a little bit, and then the music, and it was great. And then Matt, he's just a plain, just a singer. That's all. Just he as a teenager, one time we took the bus up to New York City, 3.5 hours, and we said, Matt, sing. And 3.5 hours, we said, you can stop now. Yeah. Then we do our outreach in New York, and we get on the bus, say, Matt, you can sing now. And he sang, and we got back in Baltimore, Matt, you can stop now. I mean, he just is. He's a singer. He's a worshiper. And you can just hear that. I mean, it's easy. I mean, it's his nature. Isn't that a gift? That's a beautiful gift. That's awesome. Well, we want to welcome Paula and Pastor Brian back from Hungary, right over here. Awesome. Awesome. Pastor DeVries, wow, what a deep, deep message. Spirit-filled message, really. And Pastor Moon this morning gave a great message. He's a passionate, passionate and loving and fervent brother. It's amazing. It's so good. I want to share a few things about love tonight. How important love is. We started that this morning and shared from Song of Solomon on the importance of love. Have you ever been surprised by love? Somehow startled by it or amazed that somebody loved you? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever kind of walked into a room and people love you and you're like, what? You kind of like, me? One of those? That's amazing that God really loves us, really loves us, surprises us sometimes. By the love. We want to believe it. Many times we don't. Yes, we know the theology, God loves me, but then transferred into my life to really know He loves me and to really have this in my spirit and in my heart is, like Pastor said, a missionary mind or a spirit-filled mind, like nails fastened in the temple. And it does take work. God is patient with us, but for Him to minister to us and to continue and to minister to us and show us in the three ways we see it, we get it. One is the Holy Spirit really speaks to us in the Spirit, and He says to us that I love you. The second, the Bible, really by doctrine and by investment and personal words, God says I love you. And then in the body of Christ, you. And for the pastors that were up in New York, we felt it, we sensed it, we enjoyed our time. And I agree with Pastor Steve that these are, and Pastor Colban said it, these are men of the Word and men whose minds have been persuaded and led to believe that God is faithful to us, and that God has given us, and that God is using us. And we are very important. One of the things we said was, we are very important people, and our churches are very important in the time we are living. And as things go, I believe it'll become more the relief, the contrast will be more obvious of what we say and what is said outside of love. And therefore, there will be a hunger. There will also be a lot of misunderstanding. There will also be opposition, just straight opposition, demonically inspired, as we read in the scripture. But that's fine. Being misunderstood is part of our calling. And in the book of Song of Solomon, you see love and you also see misunderstanding by others. They beat her, they ignore her, they mock her, but she's compelled by love and led by love and really loves. She's found love, the ultimate reality, love. The whole meaning of life is love. The purpose of God, love, to know God, love, to have love in our minds and hearts, to minister love. It's powerful. It's amazing. And the synergy of it, we said this morning, there's a team effort, teamwork with love, God and the believer in love, and there's a growth, and you never get bored. It's kind of exciting, surprising. And in this, in chapter 2, we have the young roe, my beloved, verse 9, is like a roe or a young hart or a gazelle. A gazelle. Peter Kreeft, in his book on love, Job, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, he has commentary on this book, which is worthwhile reading. Really good stuff. And he says that love is like light on its feet and can suddenly show up and is also, in a way, unpredictable, like a gazelle. If you've been out in the wild or even in the streets of Baltimore and suddenly walking at night, a number of times in my neighborhood, a fox is really off in the day. He just goes across the street. But I know him. I've seen him before, or other, you know, his family. I don't know if it's the same one, but it's like sometimes I see him sitting right in the street, right in the middle of the street, and I just stop, and he's like down away, far, pretty far, but it's kind of like exciting. It's exciting to see him, and then he's gone. The writer here is saying that this love is fresh, is unpredictable in a sense, light on his feet, showing up. It says, boo, hello, hi, I am fresh, I am out of the box, I am God. I am his love. How much did this happen in Jesus' ministry? They were always kept off balance by this rabbi who explained the Bible in a fresh way, Luke 4:32. He does not speak like the scribes and the Pharisees. For he is one who has authority. His words are gracious. Luke 4:22. when the woman caught in adultery is there at his feet, he says the unpredictable thing and says, "He that is without sin cast the first stone." They leave, and then he's left alone with her. And he says, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "There aren't any. Neither do I condemn you." Whoa. Wow. Surprise. Go and sin no more. Yes, yes. I see. Yes. Who are you? Yes. This is amazing. I think the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ can do that amongst us. We could be surprised at how fast it can happen. We are startled by somebody forgiving alone, somebody going up to somebody who they haven't seen and say, "I love you. I've been praying for you." Somebody just coming like through the wall, so to speak, and says, "Peace be unto you." Or you could go, imagine if the Holy Spirit went up to a young person and said, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I got you covered. God has you covered. It's good. I have a plan for you." Huge love. What love? It's amazing. And this is what we are hungry for. Not the love in the box kind of love that you get so disappointed or bored after a period of time, or it's all, you know, conditional. "I don't love you anymore." How many times has a human race heard that? Or, you know, because I look weird, or I'm different, or I'm different somehow, and nobody has really accepted me in my life for some reason. This is how I see myself. This is like Song of Solomon. It really is. She's shy. This woman is shy. And she's like, this man, this courter, this dating man, this man seeking her, is well groomed. He's a king. He's awesome. He's powerful. He's handsome. He's attractive. He's wise. There's something amazing about him. And she doesn't see herself matching up to him. Not me. I mean, you know what? She says it here in verse 5. "I am suntanned, I am swarthy, I have been in the field, but I am comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Psalm. Look not upon me," verse 6, "because I am black, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept." I have so much responsibility. I can't keep my own house. I got so much to do. I am overburdened in life. I don't have any makeup on. I don't have my house in order. I am like, just don't even look on me. How many times do we live in that? We wake up on a Monday morning and kind of feel like, okay, yeah, I will say my prayers, and yes, you know, God loves me, and I know I can go through the routine because I am taught, and I got an idea of what it is, and I do believe it. But it's another thing when God himself shows up in your life, and it actually goes into your heart and your spirit, and you actually say, "Me?" It happened to me recently. God answered one of my prayers in a way. He showed me something, and I go, "What? You answered a prayer of mine?" Has that ever happened? What? Have you noticed me? You know, it's like amazing. And then you kind of, yeah, God is with me after all. I know I preach about it day and night, but now I'm like, actually, yeah, really is. He really is. That's incredible. That's refreshing to me. This is when Tom got baptized today over here. We had 5 baptisms, every one of them so precious. We're sitting here like amazed, blessed by these testimonies. And just saying, yes, that's it. That's it. Thank you, Lord. That's it. You're doing it. That's it. Really, Lord, are you doing that? There it is. Yes. I'm doing it around the world. I'm doing it in places you can't see. I'm doing it right here, and my ways are absolutely, you may not get it, but my ways are absolutely perfect. Everything. Lord, even the, now look at chapter 2, and she's still not secure about it. Verse 14, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the places of the stairs. Why is she in the clefts of the rock? Why is she hiding under the stairway? She's still wrestling with this thing. Like, it's one thing to be face to face. It's another thing to kind of drag yourself around the earth, kind of feeling unworthy or unnoticed. Billions of people in the world. And what if they knew God's love? What if God visited them with his love? Love is the greatest thing and the greatest life-changing force in the world. Love says, I don't remember your sin anymore, and I'll never bring it up, and I'm not interested in it, and I could care less. You are beautiful. There is no spot in you. Chapter 4, verse 7. Look at it. You are all fair, my love. There is no spot in you. You can't be talking about me. I am. Yeah, that's positional truth. Yeah, that's my mind. My mind regarding you. I cannot remember your sin anymore. And I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Wouldn't it be amazing if the hundreds of believers, if not thousands of believers that are somehow backslidden, somehow tired and bored with their Christian faith, somehow have no motivation to be here or in any other church. Wouldn't it be amazing if they realized in a flash God's love for them? I have a new beginning. I have a new day. I have a fellowship. I have a living God who cares about me. I have a communion. This is a good, imagine the communion of the Spirit of God with the believer, where there's that love that is happening with the believer, and he has rest and peace and love, where he says to her, let me hear your voice. It says in verse 14, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice. Sweet is your voice. Your countenance is comely. God's not interested in looking at me. Yes, he is. Now, come on. What, God is interested in looking at me? He is. Your countenance. Well, what do you see? I see my son, Jesus Christ. I love my son. I'm excited about my son. My son and I have always been in communion. My son and I have always had the depth of the reality of my person at the very center of our fellowship, and you've been invited into that fellowship. And I just want to look at your countenance and hear your voice. What voice? No, not the sound of a crow. And caw, caw, caw. The sound of a cranky Mr. Crotchet. Cranky, crotchety old man. The sound of a whining sound. I want to hear your voice. Really, God, my voice affects you? Yeah. Have you felt that? The Holy Spirit in you? Have you felt the Holy Spirit in you in communion with God? And that He wants to see our face and hear our voice? Wow. That's amazing. Thinking His thoughts, living in this love that is very simple and clear and clean. And this is one of the things that happens through love. Through love, we begin to love righteousness. We actually love truth. We actually come for truth. I have met believers that are more interested in the garbage pail than they are in the heavens. That's fascinating to them. And I understand it. I mean, garbage is fascinating. Gossip and the trash and all that stuff. It is. It's fascinating. That's what the literature and the all kinds of stuff, you know, I don't need to get into it. You know what I'm saying. But wouldn't it be like, I love righteousness. Love truth, love edification, love my brothers and sisters, love the brethren, love the mission, love the work of God, love the secret place, love the Bible and the truth of it, love the joy. I've kind of got a refreshed view of like just being a very joyful person. And as we get older, and some of us are, our parents have passed, and others, they are all old, and they're really struggling with their health and all of these things. And when we get to a certain age, we can even see ourselves in that. And we think, wow, how is it going to go? And the answer is love. Love will take care of me. Love will feed my heart. I won't be lonely through love. I mean, yes, but no. Love, excuse me, love is not alone. Love from God in us, we will have people because of love. Love does that. Love will take care of us. Love endures everything, the mentality of love. The problem comes when there isn't love, when my self life is at the center. But when love comes, even a bad marriage is a marriage of, you know, I don't know, but even that love can handle. Or love is the only thing that we can really look at and say, that's it. That's love. I don't know if it'll help the marriage. I don't know about that. But I know that love is the answer for anybody's life. When we have health problems, I know love is there. And we can't help but think of Pastor Carl and Susie in India. I mean, it is shockingly just to be in their presence and to see the love and to feel like, wow, Lord. That's amazing. Love. How does that happen? And God is saying, I just don't worry about it. I'll surprise you like the fox in the night. I'll just show up and say, whoop, there he is. That's refreshing. That's the Spirit of God. God, don't worry about our future. Sufficient is the evil. Enough evil is for here today. But the love that is present is greater than anything that the world can throw at us. And how does it happen? By faith. She has to come out of the cleft of the rock, out from under the stairs, and let him look at her countenance and say, yes, you are. Yes, you are perfect. You are exactly the one I'm looking for. Yes, you. Yes, you. Yes. That's when Christ came. No, let's finish with a couple short stories on it. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He's hiding in the cleft of the rock under the stairs. Jesus says, let me see your countenance. You don't want to look at me. You don't want to look at Mike. You don't want to hear my voice. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I came for you. Yes, you. I came for you. I want to see you. I want to hear your voice. Yes, you, Peter. And where's Thomas? Thomas, put your hand in my side. Yes, you, Thomas. I'm not going to lose any of you. None of you will be lost. Because I have decided in myself to love you and bring into this world something that the world does not know, and that is me, God. I am love. It will cast out fear. And one of the great fears that we have is the fear of God. Why do we fear God? We fear God because he is fearsome. He is awesome. He is too much. He is overload. I can't handle it. I just want to be a normal guy kicking a stone along the street, just drinking a Coca-Cola. Just leave me alone. I just want to be a, you know, like God. It's too crazy to think about God. When you think about God and you're that serious, you fear because you have so much respect for him. You realize he is so awesome. He is so righteous, so perfect. Why would I ever be with a perfect person? How could I ever handle being with a perfect, infinitely perfect, holy, absolutely perfect God? Well, people are fools not to seek him. And we are hypocrites if we think we would be comfortable with him. If we think it's just easy to go up to the man upstairs, the old man upstairs, sure, he's my buddy. That's foolishness. And then never to pay attention is foolishness. But for God to come into our life as the awesome God, and for the love to, I'm hiding, and for the love to cast out fear, and for me to say, I don't fear you. And I fear you because you are awesome and holy, but not when you are loving me. You are awesome and holy, and now I am comfortable in your holy presence. Because you made it possible for me to be holy, for me to be loving righteousness. I love your righteousness. I love the truth. This is the meaning, isn't it? That what Pastor Steve said, we get his mind and we begin to walk with God. And then like Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, O thou man of God. What a statement. Oh, woman of God, a person that walks with God in his love and truth. This is the marvel of our faith. We have this vibrancy, surprise, fellowship, motivation. We are motivated by this love. When we get it between each other, we can tell. It's kind of can smell it, you know. It's kind of like, I got it, you know. Here we are. I mean, my brothers and sisters for decades, We have nothing between us but Christ. We have love between us. Yes, we have our talk and our dialogue and maybe some disagreements of some kind, but that's fine. That's refreshing. At times, it's just refreshing that we have such diversity, but we endeavor to keep the unity with Christ between us because the love is so precious and the love has such an answer ultimately for everything we will face in this life. Is love important? The most important thing. Though I speak with the tongues of the angels, even if I have faith and I can move mountains, and even if I understand all these mysteries, what does it profit? Who am I? I am nothing. What does it profit? If I give all my body to be burned, all my goods to feed the poor, and I don't have this love, then I am nothing. But the love is the excellent way, the amazing way. Highly unpredictable, surprises us, refreshing, powerful, most important thing, the essence of God and the essence of the body of Christ. And this is the thing, lastly, that we love. We said it earlier, but what we love about God amongst us is that He is real here. He is real. There are some churches when the service is over, the church is empty in 10 minutes. We had that here, too, back in 2004. It was a tough year for us in our church. There was difficult times. And I saw how close I can be before, how fast I can be in the flesh, and then how God is so good to us that He can, in a fresh way, show up and lead us in the Spirit. And how amazing it is in the Spirit. There are times here, we are here for 2 hours after the service. There are times. And on it goes. Sometimes we just come to see each other. Message is great, but I want to see the brethren. I want to sing the worship song. I want to be here in the presence of God. And maybe that love is what I need. Maybe it is even therapeutic. Maybe it even helps me solve my problems that are unknown to me. My problems that are undefined or unknown to me. I'm just increasing in Him. And I don't know anything about really my blind spots or changes that are happening in my life. I'm just increasing in His love. That's what life is about. And if we keep on that track, God will help us. And when you are in the flesh, recognize it and admit it. I am in the flesh, O God. I'm hiding in the cleft. You know I'm ugly. You know you don't want anything to do with me. You know how nasty I am. How I can bite and snap. You know that. Yes, I do, but I am looking for You. I am a serious God, the seeking God I am. I will heal you. Be with me. Come with me. Let's go. It's better. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? First John 2, it says, we are made perfect in love. There is no occasion of stumbling in us when we walk in love. We are learning it. It's powerful. In a way, it's fragile. In a way, it isn't. In the Spirit, it's very rugged, very resilient, flexible, very powerful, very enduring. But the moment I am relapsing into my flesh, then I could find myself without it and wonder, where is it? If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus in your life, please, you need Him. Please take Him. Please believe in Him. Please accept Him. Please trust in Him. Trust in Him on the internet. Trust in Him, please. Put all your trust. Say to Jesus, I trust in You. I trust in You. And then raise your hand or look at the usher. He'll give you a booklet. Just let the usher know you're accepting Christ tonight. Just raise your hand and believe in Him, walk in Him. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, yeah, I forgot to pray for these brothers. They are Pastor Dwight's going to Argentina on a short-term mission. Pastor Dwight, amazing, 11 days. And then Pastor Roger and Elvira are moving. They live in Istanbul. They were here for a while and are going back now. And he's the pastor in Istanbul. And this is his wife, Elvira. And we're going to be... thinking and praying for them. So let's, you know, was God going to do some good things this year? Huh? Yes, Lord. Pray for Pastor Dwight in Argentina, the mission, Pastor Fred Arruda, Stan Collins, Pastor Drew, Lord, the team there, Pastor Lemos, everyone traveling. And for Pastor Raj and Elvira, their ministry and Turkey, the spirit in their studies, the contacts, the Turkish people drawn, Lord, one by one, for their safety, their protection. There are changes happening in Turkey. We understand that. We see that. We ask you would make us all alert, awake and alert to what's happening, and be good counselors to this family and to this church, to be with them in prayer, to care for that work, and to see it grow. Bless Pastor Niazi, 8 hours away, Pastor Umid and Bilicek in another city, and all the work for Roger's son, Roger, and Matt LaFlame, their visit. Pray for that happening in the near future. And your hand, please, Lord. This isn't just a formal prayer. This is a real prayer of faith, God. Use them, bless them, anoint them, lead them, guide them, close doors and open doors. Do it in Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.